Dobrze, bardzo serdecznie zapraszamy. Kto z Państwa chciałby zabrać głos, zadać pytanie, albo wygłosić komentarz, albo wątpliwość, albo... Dobrze, proszę.
Już. Przepraszam, tak. Chciałam zadać pytanie w stronę rola języka w, tutaj u Marii Lasnych. Przedmiotem tutaj analizy, jak słyszałam w referatach, często były przywoływane dzienniki, jej dzienniki, jak ona pisze o sobie. Natomiast ja jestem, byłam pod wrażeniem tutaj jej jakby video art, które jakby tworzyła. Tutaj w sali obok jest taka bardzo ciekawa praca kantata, kiedy ona jakby śpiewa o sobie swoją biografię w jakby melodia ludowa. Rzecz jest jakby, przypomina trochę taki wideoklip muzyczny. I chciałam się zapytać tutaj o, może tutaj wszystkich pań, o właśnie o skojarzenia i o właśnie próbę, dla mnie też to była bardzo ciekawa praca, to połączenie języka i obrazu, jak ona tutaj opowiada jakby o sobie, ale zarazem też właśnie o tej, tam często też się pojawia ten wątek, w sensie opowiadając o swoim dzieciństwie, też jakby tych struktur patriarchalnych. Także chciałam tutaj zapytać o te prace wideo, gdyby panie mogły tutaj odnieść się do nich. I może jeszcze takie pytanie drugie, bo tutaj padły też nazwiska skojarzeń, jakby jej malarstwo, a na przykład właśnie Francis Bacon. A chciałam zapytać może o, co sądzą panie o spojrzeniu na jej malarstwo w kontekście może takich bardziej, w kontekście może bardziej tradycyjnych skojarzeń. Dla mnie pierwszy raz zetknęłam się z jej obrazami w Albertinie. I jakby to było też w kontekście innych muzeów w Wiedniu, byłam, w sensie patrząc na jej obraz, widziałam tuż obok jakby korespondujące obrazy Schiele. W sensie ta tradycja ciała też w malarstwie austriackim. Także chciałam się tu zapytać o spojrzenie na nią w kontekście tej, powiedzmy, tradycji ciała w malarstwie austriackim. To dwa pytania. Dziękuję.
Dziękujemy. Polish? English? Well, I will try on English. About the films. For me, it's something like mockery and irony about talking about myself in a sort of animation film. I was laughing about it because she's using some symbols of elements of Austrian culture in a way that you cannot not laugh about it. It's just the way she's combining the elements of Austrian culture and the songs from the some Tyrolean way and Tyrolean way of singing, Tyrolean, what we know as what's the name of this typical Tyrolean way of singing? You know what I mean? Genau. Jodeln, jodłowanie. You know, when you are an avant-garde artist and you make a film about your you and your country, you and your childhood in Austria, and you refer to such elements, for me it's mockery. But well, and the second question, it's a very good idea to refer to Schiele. I didn't think about it, but now. Maybe we could find some similar elements. Maybe sometimes in a way she's thinking about the colors, and the shapes too.
Okay, so the first work I ever saw of Lasnik's was Cantata, because it was actually in the main entrance of the Serpentine show. It was there, and I thought, I was totally gripped and laughing and giggling, but also it's very melancholic. I find that there's a sense of mourning around the her childhood, and you know, she talks about not being blessed with being attractive, but she could draw. And so there's this sort of objective understanding of herself and articulation of the self, a sort of witnessing, in a sense, which is what Kasia was talking about. Sorry, I'm getting all these names mixed up. That I think runs throughout her practice. And yes, totally, totally funny. And a totally perfect for a New York art scene as well. The sort of experimentation with form and the multiplicity of the way in which she was doing, you know, working on film at that time, but also the singing, the yodeling, the off-keyness of that, because she wasn't blessed with a voice either. Thank God she could draw, in a way. And I mean that ironically, because she's a sort of, you know, brilliant artist. And so I think it's, her writing is quite serious, and her painting is quite serious. And even though she has, you know, and then the dishes need to be done, ha ha ha, a lot of it is really trying to philosophically and ontologically get a hold of what she's trying to do. And it seems to me like the films are sort of a release of something else, a release of humor, and, you know, are a wonderful addition to a very serious body of work, I think. So that. The relationship to Sheila, I think that Kalina's paper and the way in which she talked about the representation of feminine sexuality within Lasnik's work is really appropriate, that it isn't really about sexuality in the way that I find Sheila's work is all about autobiography and sexuality and eroticism, and in a very kind of explicit way. I think her project is quite different, but I understand that the relationship between, you know, what we might broadly want to call expressionism, you know, so I can see that, but I think that they're doing quite different things, in my opinion, and even with Bacon as well, I think something different is going on, but, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I do agree with both, somehow, of my colleagues, and I loved it, and as a kind of a nice try, put it on YouTube, put Cantata on YouTube, get it, and then read the comments of people who just come across this work, not knowing anything of Maria Lasnik, and just think, what is this? Or she can't sing. That's my favorite comment, was she can't sing. But actually, her video works encouraged me in my thinking about her autobiographical project to think about her as a kind of very engaged and very political figure too. Because I think that even though it's a parody, I think Cantata is a parody. You think I'm a female artist? I am a female artist. Do you think females do autobiography? I will give you autobiography. It's a singspiel. I will sing my life. You know, I will. It's so queer, you know, the way she dresses up to impersonate herself as a kind of unexpected image and so on and so forth. But on the other hand, there are some really powerful things that she manages, some very critical, very political things that she manages to put through. And she says, you know, I experienced all of those Tashism and expressionism, and there was this brilliant phrase that was totally lost in English translation, but I have at home a person who speaks German very well. She says something like, "Doch Kunstfaschismus war doch überall," where she basically does a very, very political and very powerful statement, I would say. So on the one hand, you know, the
painful conventionality of this work and kind of the parody it is also a way to say things very straightforward, which her painting does not. And also other works, the video work called Couples, where she basically does a kind of a social, cultural, political critique of the way couples function in 1970s America. It's a very straightforward, very feminist, I would say, work. So I would totally agree that video allows her to do things she doesn't do in her writing, she doesn't do in her painting. It's yet another way of meditation or engagement with reality. And on Sheila, I have no ideas, but I have another association with Albertina, actually. That was a very striking experience for me to see drawings of Elke Krystówek and her kind of autobiographical, very concentrated on body and bodily consciousness, an Austrian feminist, very political artist.
I have a question in English. Maybe it's better. I have a question to Joanne. When you are talking about transitional space, about painting as transitional space, so what do you mean exactly? I mean painting as a practice, as painting as an activity, or painting as an object? Yes, because object hanging in a gallery. Because when you say that it is important how viewers encounter painting, so when you think, you think about painting as an object in a gallery, because it is where really people encounter paintings, yes? But during your talk, I thought that you concentrate more on painting as activity, as something that is done in the studio. So I would like to ask you to elaborate on it more.
Okay. So I think that, this is so weird. Okay, right, I heard myself in too many places. Okay, the talk that I gave was really wanting to look at the idea of artistic practice and the practice itself as a form of working within a transitional space. So yes, that is very much kind of the first layer of that reading. And I was going to look as well at another artist called Emma Talbot, who is a British artist, who uses painting, the aesthetic is totally different, but she uses painting as a form and drawing as a form of engaging with the autobiographical and memory and fantasy and dreaming. And when she talks about her practice, she's very much talking about it in relation to psychoanalysis, amongst other things, and thinking about it as a space of working through. So I'm that's a psychoanalytic term, and I kind of want to put that out there, because what I'm not wanting to talk about, and which is one of the problems that I have in the kind of work that I do, is I'm not wanting to say that painting or artistic practice is therapy. So I'm not wanting to do that, but I'm wanting to look at the potential of similar processes taking place in making, in this case, autobiographical work through a artistic practice or through a writerly practice, and certain aspects of the autobiographical that are raised within the consulting room, within the clinical psychoanalytic space. So the idea for this talk was to, when the more I read about Lasnik's work, the more I became interested in the way in which she talks about interiority and exteriority and this kind of dialectic with within her work and within her practice. And I was taken to Winnicott through somebody called Marion Milner, who is a British psychoanalyst. She's now deceased. And she wrote autobiographies in the 30s. She also wrote a very famous book called On Not Being Able to Paint, which is looking at the creative block. And she uses ways of looking and ways of understanding the world that are so similar to Lasnik, as a means of coming to terms with what it means to be a woman in the world. And so from there, I went to Winnicott. So I've made a bunch of moves to go to Winnicott. So yes, I'm trying to say that certain kinds of autobiographical artistic practices, can we think of them as ways of being, ways of engaging, ways of working through the relationship of the self to the world in this frame of transitional spaces? So that's one. And that includes the self and also the world related to the artist. Then the move to us as viewers, I think it's a different shift. And I don't think that it is about transitional spaces. I think it's about something else. So I've written about it in relation to transference and in relation to anger and anxiety in looking at works of art and in relation to crying. So Andrea Fraser talks about the fact that she always cries, that she cries when she gives talks, and she cries in front of certain kinds of art practices, and she looks at it psychoanalytically. So I don't want to say that this is a transitional space. I'm not ready to say that yet, but I do wonder if the autobiographical space of practice is a form of transitional space, and what it means for us to think that, and what the problems with thinking about that are as well.
Can I now, hello? Can I now, Kasia? I just want to say something, just because we will talk later more. But I just want to say I agree with you, with Jean, about what you just said, because I just, from a very, very simple practical, point of view, I went to several therapies. I'm a painter, and I do drawings as well. And one of the therapists, many years ago, and the one that was very important, and it was meant to help me with many kinds of problems from my past, childhood, and so on, and all the relationship to myself, he was constantly saying that all my problems I would transform into art, and that is very bad for the therapy. And then I stopped the therapy. And I'm so glad he mentioned that so many times, because then I realized that he's actually killing me as an artist and killing me as a professional also, in a way, because that's my profession and that's my life, and I can't imagine doing anything else. So it is very similar what's happening, and this transitional space, it is in the studio. I just want to say this, that I, from my practice, I just want to say I can confirm that.
You like that idea. That's all. Well, you're not alone to think that about wanting to not concede to the therapeutic, because Louise Bourgeois, there's a wonderful essay by Juliette Mitchell on Louise Bourgeois, and of course Louise Bourgeois, unbeknownst to all of us, had been seeing a therapist for about 30 years, you know, even though she poo-pooed therapy all the time. And Juliette Mitchell does a wonderful reading of her work where she says that Louise Bourgeois is the worst patient, because she was just not going to get well, because in a sense to get well is to stop, get well, whatever that means, was to stop the sort of practice that she had. And Mitchell has, you know, a really interesting Kleinian argument about that. So, yeah, bourgeois as well. Yeah.
Good company. Good company, yeah.
Tym razem po polsku. Pani mówiły tutaj o Lasnik jako osobie, która jest bardzo uważna, która bardzo uważnie dobiera słowa i też mówiłyście Pani o kolorach, mianowicie o kolorach, tutaj Pani Kasia wspomniała o kolorze malinowym przy obrazie Furia Wojny, gdzie to była prawdopodobnie wojna z remontem, a Pani Kalina wspominała o kolorach, które Lasnik sama definiowała jako kolory napięcia na przykład. Ja mam pytanie, bo też się zastanawiałam, jak czytałam właśnie o tym, czy ona stworzyła swój kanon kolorów?
Nie. Nie, z tego co wiem, to nie, ale miała to swoje takie poetyckie, symboliczne nazwy kolorów, o których wspomniałam.
Okay, I'll be at the beginning. I don't really know if she had her color canon, but definitely she kind of coded certain sensations and emotions and affects with particular colors. And there are readings of her paintings, kind of in a little bit like with Andrzej Wróblewski's paintings. They, you know, when she felt sick, she would paint her body with one particular color or shades of this color. When she experienced this or that, or even in the self-portrait poem, she's writing about kind of feeling her head red, right?
Yeah, yeah. But also blau, blue.
Blue. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she was. You know, she worked for 70 years. I'm not sure if she stuck with one, let's say, regime of using colors. But there was definitely a kind of an idea behind mm-hmm. it, a certain pattern or system.
Well, what we know is that she was very strongly referring to one of the first self-portraits, self-portrait in Grün, the green self-portrait. So at the beginning, the green was what was a sort of starting color, but then it evaluated. That's why I would be very cautious about simple according colors to emotions, because it is evaluating in her. I think so.
I just want to add to that, I really admire the palette of Maria Lasnik. I don't think many painters are able to use colors like this. And she used colors that are not being used or are taught not to be used. You are in the academies, it's forbidden to use this kind of green, emerald green, or absinthe green. You can't use this kind of colors, and you should make them, mix them, you know, use yellow and ultramarine or Prussian blue mixed with yellow, and then it's all right. So she was very brave, and she never used black, which is amazing, because it's very difficult to paint a painting without using black. So I would say she had her own palette in a way, but she never probably put it on paper, but it's really a must. She's the master of colors, I would say. And you can also look at the colors in Maria Lasnik in the context of Claude Monet, impressionists, or Polish koloryści. That's very, very, very conscious and very disciplined way of using colors.
Ja bym powiedziała tak, że jeśli teraz nie ma jakichś takich bardzo pilnych uwag, to możemy oddalić się w kierunku nie będę wprowadzała zamieszania, mówiąc w którym, żeby się napić i coś przekąsić. I wrócimy do tej sali za 15-20 minut i będziemy kontynuować tę rozmowę, poszerzając ją o wątki, które pojawią się w rozmowie z artystkami, z Polą Dwórnik, z Anną Baumgart i z Honoratą Martin. Także zapraszamy po przerwie, a na przerwę zapraszamy tutaj. Będzie smacznie. Bardzo dziękujemy Państwu.